How's your mind this morning? Confused? After that walk around the church, I think parents and grandparents are wondering, what's a mobile phone for? But there you are. Great thing, isn't it? What's your mind like? Are you confused? Have you been through a hard week? Did you not sleep too well last night and you're still trying to waken up? Well, I think we've tried to waken you up in church as well. But I'd like you to think about that. Because if we get our minds straight, we get a lot of other things straight. Now, it so happens that Jamie's down to read today, and we're going to read in Romans 12. He will tell you the page number if you need it, but we're going to start at verse 3. And as he reads, I want you to think about this. The theme of this is, don't be too high and mighty about yourself. Even though there are a lot of gifts, you have a lot of gifts, there are a lot of gifts in the church, fellowship. It's having the right attitude to ourselves and what we can do and what we are and so on. That's the center of this. He's going to read from verse 3 to 8. He'll give you the page number. But I want you to see the connection. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, and in that combination.
Yes, the reading is from page 1139, if you were still trying to find it. Romans 12, verses 3 to 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully.
You see, it's the focus is not so much on the gift, but how we use it. And that will depend on how we look on ourselves. Oh, I'm great. I can do this and I can do that. But that's not the purpose of receiving the gifts. The gift is given so that we might serve our God. And in the serving of Him by using the gift, we serve each other. And we encourage each other, and we are doing what God intended, rather than saying, oh, I've got all these gifts, so how good I am, how great I am, and so on, okay? Now we're going to change the thinking for a minute, because it's still on our mind, but this will relate then to how we treat other people. Our attitude to ourselves, first, then from verse 9. How we treat other people in the church and outside the church. And there are some startling things here. And you might at the end of it say, oh, how can you do all that? Jamie.
Verses 9 to 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
I don't know, folks, but as you look at that list of things that we're expected to be and to do, it's kind of overwhelming. How do we ever keep up with all that's being said there? The whole essence of it is that we love each other with a genuine love. You know the way you meet people and they're being all over you and you know they're being a bit false. There's a kind of attitude at times that, well, I have to be nice because I want to impress or whatever. And in all of this, I mean, even when you get right through and when people kick you or hurt you or all the rest of it, look at the reactions we're expected. Don't take revenge. What? I mean, if he hits me, I'm going to hit him. Isn't that our normal, natural reaction? And if she tells lies about me, then I'm going to tell lies about her or whatever. You know, we're going to get our own back. But if you think about it, and this is the essence today, think about it. That's not the way Christ wants us to think, to behave, and all the rest of it. But when you put those two sections together, and having a right attitude to ourselves, and who we are, and what we have by the grace of God, and how we're expected to treat other people, how can you ever manage that? I mean, in my thinking, as I read through that again and again, and I actually learnt Romans 12, believe it or not, in what they called elementary school up in Belfast. And it's been with me all my life. And I keep saying, there's so many guidelines and instructions there. How do you keep them? We're going to give the answer. And it's back in verses 1 and 2. Listen carefully to this. Jamie, read this very slowly. Give us all time to think.
Verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen.
When we're asked to present our bodies, we're actually being asked to present our whole selves. When the people of the Old Testament brought their offerings to God, it was really through animals. But now we're being asked, in Christ, to present our whole selves, body, mind, soul, spirit, the whole lot, and our physical attributes as well. But look at the next two statements. And this is how we get into a way of thinking where we can indeed have a right attitude to ourselves and have genuine Christian love to one another and to those here outside, if you like. Look at the first statement. Don't be conformed to the ways of this world. J.B. Phillips translates it or paraphrases it by saying, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. We are being encouraged not to let people who think differently lead us into their way of thinking. We are being encouraged in another way. But do you see what it is? And this is something that can happen to us insidiously, gently, but as sure as you and I are here, we can so easily be dragged into or sucked into the ways that everybody else thinks and allow ourselves to be conformed, because it's something that happens to us. Allow ourselves to be conformed to the way of thinking, the way of living of the people who do not know Christ and who do not want to know Christ. But look at the next sentence. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now this to me is seismic. It's a seismic change. Who's going to do the changing? Again, it's something that happens to us. Be transformed. And the whole of Romans and the whole of the Bible is saying, let God change your mind so that you don't think in the way that you always thought, but you begin to think the way he thinks. This is like what comes up on your computer. You know the way sometimes a piece of software wants to upgrade or update, okay? And on your screen, it says this program wants to make changes to your computer and you're asked to allow or to disallow. Or say yes or say no. And that to me is what's coming up on our spiritual eyes at the moment, where God is saying, I want to make changes to the program of your thinking. And we have to click allow or disallow. We have to click yes or no. If we're going to be transformed, and that's complete change. That's the same word that was used when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, when his whole appearance was changed. Only Paul is now talking by the Spirit about our minds. And we have to let God change our minds so that we're thinking and then living in a different direction altogether. This is why it has to be God who does this by his grace. How does he do it? When his Holy Spirit comes to us, when we are changed by the grace of God, when we come to faith, use whatever expression we like, but when, from that moment when we came to know God, came to accept Christ as Savior, we also received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives in us to encourage us and persuade us and direct us. In other words, to change our whole way of going. But it starts in the mind. Have you ever noticed the way we live relates to what we think? And that's why I think Paul is saying, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you think as God thinks. And this is Holy Spirit work, where we're not listening to any other human being even, no matter how erudite in Scripture they might be, because in the end, all preachers and all theologians and all teachers are human. And what we need is the Spirit of God himself, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit so to change our thinking that we change our attitude and we change our way of going and we change our way of treating each other. That's what I want you to think about. That's what I believe the whole of the Bible is all about. Because when God appeared to Abraham way back, Abraham had to change his mind about what his future was going to be. When God chose Moses to go and bring the people out of Egypt, the people had to change their mind to accept Moses as their leader and to follow him out of Egypt. They didn't do it wholly. They grumbled and grunted the whole way through the desert, and in fact they ended up 40 years in the desert when they could have been inside the promised land in about 6 months. And it's the same with the disciples. Look at Peter, a wonderful leader in the church. But where did he start from? Do you remember the times when Jesus was trying to explain to his close friends, disciples, that in a short time he was going to be arrested, he's going to be tried, and he's going to be killed? And do you remember that time when Peter said to him, "Lord, no, 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 that never happened to you." What did Jesus say to him? "Get behind me, Satan, because that was, you were trying to get me to conform to the ways, the customs of this world, Peter. Get behind me. I have to do the will of my Father." So Peter had to get a change of mind. And it's the same right through in the development of the church and the Acts and so on. And if we, as a church, as a fellowship of God's people, in today's world, with all the challenges and different views about morality, etc., that we have, and even about the Spirit of God and all the rest of it, how he works in the world, we have got to have this seismic change. And yet it's an ongoing work of grace, where we are constantly being adjusted by God, and we want him to do it. That's the point. We desire him to do it, so that he is transforming us by his grace into the kind of thinkers that he wants us to be, and then we will be the kind of livers as he wants us to be. Am I making sense? Some sense, at least. But do you see where it's at? To me, it is crucial that we say yes to him, and we offer ourselves to him. I think this is linked up with what Paul said in the first sentence. Present your bodies, your whole self. And that includes your mind. Now, this doesn't mean that God puts us into a straitjacket of thinking. In fact, as Jesus said, when, you know, he will give us the truth by the Holy Spirit, and that will set us free. A freedom that is real, not a freedom that is kind of conjured up, and that we sort of emotionally develop this freedom or whatever. This is real. This is foundational. This is life-changing. And it's the work of the Spirit, but we have to say yes. And if we're going to say yes, we're going to have to want it. In that passage, you also heard the sentence about fanning the flame of your spiritual desire. Do we want God to work change in us? Or do we just talk about it and sing about it and pray about it, etc.? Or is it going to be real? We're going to sing a prayer song. It's 613 in the book. And I'd like you to think of these words, about these words, before we sing them. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, there's out of Romans 12:1. Mold me, fill me. That's desire. That's a desire of the heart and the mind that really leads to change. So that we're not following our own ideas or anybody else's, but the will of God Himself. We'll keep our seats as we sing this. We'll sing it slowly and prayerfully. 613.